Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. The point today is one of the sweetest, most caring, faith-filled people you could ever meet, Courtney Hahn. Courtney, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. Tell us a little bit about you. Give us a little bit of background. Mm-hmm. Just tell me who Courtney Hahn is. Bare bones.
Okay, sounds good. Well, my name's Courtney, obviously. Thanks, Joe, for the intro. I'm excited to be on. I am currently at Cleveland State University studying nursing. I'm getting my BSN, and then I'll have an RN once I take the registered exam. I went to Louisiana State University before I transferred to Cleveland State, and I studied kinesiology there, and I did most of my nursing prerequisites there as well, but I also was a cheerleader there. A very fun experience, but I ended up transferring because LSU didn't have a nursing program. But I really like nursing. It's something I'm really passionate about, and I really like school and to study, so very happy with where I am right now in life.
It's amazing. You've had a lot of transition in your life, right?
Yes.
From up north to down south and back up north, and I'm curious to hear about all of that, but kind of to tie it in, where I know Courtney from is having grown up in the same town, basically, and she's one of those people that people know, again, like I had mentioned, is a very nice, like outgoing, genuine person who is very devoted to her faith, and I would say, for me, like, I think it's something that's totally admirable about her, and we have crossed paths through a couple just mutual, like, faith-oriented groups. So, Courtney, you want to talk a little bit about your faith, maybe, and, like, how that's been influential in your life or where you are with it and how it plays a role in your life?
Certainly. So, my devotion to my faith has come a long way. I don't think people just wake up one day that are, you know, Catholic Christians on a Monday morning like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to go preach the gospel and I'm going to go, you know, pray on the streets, whatever, you know, that's just not how it works. So I think that, you know, my faith in God has certainly been a process, you know, it's just not something, you know, like I said, you wake up and you're like, bam, I love God, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, that being said, my faith journey and devotion, it has started at a young age. You know, I went to St. Joseph and John, a Catholic school. I was raised and taught, you know, the basic Catholic morals. Go to church on Sunday, you get your confirmation, you know, you get your baptism when you're young, you know, all that stuff. But I was raised in a Catholic household and told to go to church on Sundays, all that. But actually, two fun facts. When I was young, at St. Joe's, they had the nativity play, you know, and I didn't get picked to be Mother Mary, and I cried for a week over it.
Are you serious? So you were committed from a young age.
Yes, and then I had a pet parakeet.
Okay.
I got it for my second, when I was in second grade, I got it for my birthday, a pet parakeet, and it was blue. So I named it Mary, after Mother Mary.
Oh my God.
So I guess you could say it definitely started at a young age.
Yeah.
But I really started to discover it, like, independently on my own. In seventh grade at St. Joe's, I joined the youth group there because I was, you know, I was curious. I was like, why am I going to St. Joe's? You know, how can this apply to my life? And so I wanted to dive deeper and to gain a better understanding of it. And so, you know, taking these actions on my own, like joining the youth group, gave me, like, splendid opportunities to just dive deeper into my faith. And so that's really when I saw my relationship grow. I began to, you know, not just volunteer at church, but I started volunteering in the community. I began to open up the Bible, study the scriptures. I attended Mass during the week. I would go to adoration at the chapel. And I believe that that was, like, the turning point in my faith. And that was, like, really when I started to grow deeper in my relationship with God. And I think that once you begin to center your life around God, it's really hard to turn away from that, because I think when you are living for Him, you're living for the Spirit, you gain not only a different perspective on life, but it's like a peaceful perspective. And when you center your life around Christ, you know, you do really live in peace and you see things just completely different. So I think that it would be extremely difficult for me to turn away from my faith and to turn away from the goodness that God has provided me thus far in my life.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, throughout your little talk here, you kind of echo this idea that it's a choice, right? Like you're saying, like, at seventh grade, I chose to go to this group and to learn more. And, like, I've chosen to go to daily Mass and I've chosen to read the Bible and do all of these things that bolster your faith. How did you know what to do? Or, like, what advice would you give to someone to have the wherewithal or the strength to make these choices?
Yeah. So if I were to give advice to someone, as simple as it sounds, I would say just to start.
Okay.
I think God's arms are always open and his love is so abundant, as well as his mercy. And I think that if people understand that aspect of it, it can make an easy transition to, you know, open their eyes and open their hearts to him and what he has to offer. And so I think that there's two really educational Bible verses that I wrote down here that can be applied as well. For example, in the parable of the mustard seed, we read, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is smaller than all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches." You know, in that case, when someone starts their faith journey, it's just like a mustard seed, but like as you grow and as you like thrive in your faith, you see it grow into the branches and grow, you know, you just see God in your life everywhere. And I think that that's amazing.
That is amazing.
So another perspective that I wrote down, I've actually been reading a book called Jesus on Trial.
Okay.
So I've been getting a bunch of different perspectives from that book. And so I applied it to this here. But in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would." I think that we as humans, as the flesh, we're all missing something, and we all have this void in our hearts. But that's where Jesus Christ comes in, and he can fill that void. You know, oftentimes I get questions like, "Courtney, why are you so happy? Why are you so positive all the time?" It's because I choose to fill that void with Jesus Christ. And then everything that, you know, I consider it like the root. Like, he's the root of my life, and everything else branches from that. And I truly think that's, you know, why I have this, you know, high-spirited, energetic personality, is because he is really the center of my life. So,
did you have that prior to going through all this, that kind of personality?
Yeah, I've always been pretty energetic, always happy. But I never really understood why. And sure. I also wanted to grow in that. Like, I liked being happy. I liked, you know, I was a cheerleader. Yeah. You know, you have to be happy to be a cheerleader. So
that's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. So I was like, well, you know, I want to continue, you know, have this personality and have a positive impact on people. And so I grew in that when I developed and opened up my heart to Jesus. So.
And you kind of touched on it a little bit here, like, so your advice would be to just start, like, to just start doing these things and diving into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be a seemingly obvious question or an answer for someone who is as devoted as you are, but what would be your reason for doing so? Like, you kind of talk about it filling this void, but, like, for someone who's like, all right, I get it, so, like, just start, but why should I even just start?
Why should you start? I just think that we as humans, there's earthly desires. I wrote down here as well. Earthly desires are never going to fill that void, what we're truly longing for, especially in a generation, I think, that is looking for things, you know, through social media. You know, you always are looking for that high of like, oh, if I post this, you know, I'm going to get so many likes, or if I do this, you know, people are going to like me. That's not how it works. You know, you go through those highs and then you crash, and you're constantly searching and you're constantly longing for something that you're not going to find here on earth. And I think that's the purpose, and that's the reason why my faith is so strong, is because I realized, you know, yeah, I was happy and, like, you know, a normal kid, but I was like, there's got to be something more. And so I think when you look for that and you find that the more is Jesus and the more is the faith, then, you know, that's the reason. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I had a friend who I became very close with in college, and he was kind of, I don't know, like, maybe I would describe him as, like, agnostic, like, didn't really know one way or the other. I guess ultimately I would say accurately, and he'd probably agree, is that, like, he didn't care, right? Like, that would be, like, the best way I would put it. Like, he didn't care one way or the other. And so when he would ask me about it, we'd have conversations, and again, this is a close friend of mine, so we would have conversations, like, in a raw, just, we're not worried about it, you're hurting each other's feelings, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, right. hard on each other, but it was, like, I could speak, and he could speak, and we knew it was totally, like, out of love kind of thing, and I always said to him, I was, like, you know, like, something that's convincing to me is just kind of the numbers or the math behind it. The idea that if I spend, I don't know, 30 minutes a day in prayer or reflective meditation, and then go to mass, you know, a couple, on Sundays or a couple times a week, whatever, those numbers, just, like, the hourly numbers, and the culmination of a lifetime are seemingly small in comparison to the eternal demise that could happen. Yes. On the contrary. Yes. Like, if you just look at eternity or like a little bit of time on earth, it's
yes.
strictly speaking numbers. I think that is one mm-hmm. of the more compelling reasons to, like, all right, go ahead. And like, it's not like this is a bad thing all the way around. People are going to agree living a good life is a good thing. Like, if you're in prayer, in meditation, in those sorts of headspaces, then that's all the way around a good thing.
Yes.
So, all right, so you're spending your time doing this thing that's innately good,
mm-hmm.
and it could lead to eternal glory as opposed to eternal damnation.
Exactly.
That's a pretty compelling argument to me, just right off the rip, strictly
right.
speaking.
No,
numbers.
I agree to that. That's a great point.
It's yeah. just kind of, I don't know, it's something different.
Yeah, definitely something to consider and think about, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you then continue now that you have this rooted faith? Like, how do you continue to expand it? Because you never want to, like, I know you, and mm-hmm. based upon what you're saying, like, that stagnation is not something you're going to want. So how do you continue to evolve in your faith?
I would definitely say I think that going to Mass during the week is something that helps grow my faith, because I know that it's not required of me.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to Mass on Sundays, that's just a daily requirement of the faith. But I continue to grow in that is, like, just going to Mass during the week, spending time in adoration, prayer. I try to pray at least 10 minutes a day, just at least 10 minutes. I notice that when I don't start my day with God and with prayer, I don't have a good day.
Okay.
Something feels yeah. like it's missing. And so I always, like, go back to that reminder of, okay, when I was at a low point, what helped me most? God. And so those little reminders of, you know, that really helped me to continue on my journey of faith. And I know that I'm here to live for the Spirit, not for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps me continue along as well.
That's great. So. Yeah. So it's clear that it's a very big part of your life.
Yes.
And similarly, another big part that you mentioned was the cheerleading.
Yes.
And I think that these innately go hand in hand throughout your story based upon mm-hmm. the way you've set it up.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you,
yes.
why was it cheerleading from the jump? To be able to compete and cheer at Louisiana State,
yeah.
you had to have been doing it and practicing for a long time. So what was kind of the,
mm-hmm.
why cheerleading?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question and a question I get a lot. So I was just 2 years old when my mom put me in cheerleading and tumbling classes. So I've really only known a blue fuzzy mat, some white cheerleading shoes, and pom-poms for my whole life.
Okay.
I didn't do anything else. I didn't know anything else. And at just 10 years old, I was cheering competitively, and I was on a cheerleading team with high school seniors when I was 10. So I was, you know, pretty talented. To simply put it, I loved it. You know, I would be begging my mom, you know, when's my next class? When's my next private lesson? And so at a young age, I knew I wanted to continue to pursue it. And at a young age, I was really ambitious. I mean, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the hardest working. I still remember, you know, I would have coaches' meetings in, like, eighth grade, whatever, when I was cheering, and they would always tell me, you know, you are the hardest working athlete we have in the gym. And I just, you know, it made me feel good about myself, you
yeah.
know, and I was like, there's something to say about that. I love hard work, and I love to work hard, and I always had, like, a really strong work ethic. And so I think that led me to, you know, where I got, you know, cheerleading mm-hmm. in college and, you know, at LSU. But there were days, actually, I would cry because I didn't want to leave the gym, you know. And I guess when I realized how passionate I was about it, you know, I just wanted to continue to pursue it. So.
And how did you, during your high school years,
mm-hmm.
come to decide, okay, Louisiana State's the place?
It was actually not necessarily planned. I sent in a bunch of, you know, videos of my skills and my skill set to a bunch of different colleges, and I got invited down to LSU to visit, to go to a game, and they let me on the field and everything. And boy, did my perspective change when I went down to Louisiana. Baton Rouge is a place of its own, and I absolutely loved it. It just opened my eyes, and it gave me just this huge opportunity to grow and to thrive and to get a different perspective on life, you know. And so I went to a game, and I absolutely fell in love with it. I loved the game day atmosphere. The people down there are all diehard LSU fans, you know. They are amazing people down there. Southern hospitality, all of it together, the different culture, the people, the food. it just, it had my heart, you mm-hmm. know, and so I loved it.
Yeah, so you yeah. knew right away.
I knew right away, yeah. I actually got on ESPN with the mascot, Mike the Tiger, the first time I went down there. God. And my mom, she didn't go to the game. Okay. She was sitting at a restaurant, you know, watching the game. And she looks up on the TV and she goes, oh my gosh, that's my daughter, you know? yeah. And so she's like, in that moment, she kind of knew too, like, oh, I think this is the place for Courtney.
yeah.
So.
That's wild when you get all those signs, like, you yeah. kind of just know, mm-hmm. you know? Okay, yeah. So the time comes, right, and you go down there. What yeah. was the transition like for you? How did you, I don't know, I mean, that's wild, like, to yeah. go from Cleveland, Ohio, down to, like you said, Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I would probably be the last person that would move away from home. And I was a homebody. I was in, like, this comfort zone of being with my family and being at home. But I can honestly say that, you know, moving to Louisiana was the best decision of my life. It just completely changed my perspective of everything. I highly recommend moving away from home. I feel like moving away to another city, you know, I'm talking about this perspective change, and I'll get into that more. Like, just before I made the decision, like, obviously I said I was a homebody. I didn't like being away. But, however, taking that courage, you know, that first step to get out of my comfort zone, open up this opportunity to a whole new experience that I never knew existed. I knew nothing about the South. I mean, mm-hmm. I would hear things, you know. But moving down there made me love it. And I actually want to move back after I graduate from nursing school. That's how much I like it. But at just 18 years old, you know, moving 17 hours away from home was the slightest thing from easy. I was taking a rigorous academic courses, classes, you know, pre-nursing classes aren't easy, on top of Division I cheerleading. That's extremely challenging. However, I truly believe that making that decision paved the way, like, for the rest of my life. I realized that I can do anything. I can do almost the impossible. You know, I would have never guessed I would have moved that far away from home. I love the South so much, like I said, and the decision showed how much passion I have for traveling and, like, how much the world has to offer. So, I loved it. I loved it.
When you mentioned, like, the D1 aspect of it.
Yeah.
And when did you kind of recognize how competitive it was?
Oh, well, when I got to tryouts, there's about 2 to 3 different phases of tryouts. And there are roughly, I would say, 100 to probably 120 girls that try out each year, all competing for 15 to 20 spots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. And so was it just kind of the workload or like that you had during the tryouts that opened your eyes to it, or was it strictly the copious amount of people trying out for slim pickings?
I would say the amount of girls that were trying out.
Yeah.
The fact that they were all talented enough to make it.
I see.
And it is cut down to truly the best of the best when you're competing for a spot on a team like that.
So were you guaranteed a spot going in, or was it like you had the same kind of slate as everyone else?
No, and that's what's different about a lot of college cheerleading is you can get recruited, mm-hmm. but you still have to try out.
Okay.
Which is absolutely fascinating to a lot of people, you know. That's how competitive cheerleading is that a lot of people don't realize.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, LSU is, like, the cream of the crop with cheerleading, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, there's – I don't think, like, to any – I don't want to say, like, average view, like, listener or whatever, but to someone who's not informed in the cheerleading world – or college sports world, like, LSU cheerleading is, like, the acme of cheerleading mm-hmm. in the sense of the Dallas Cowboys, like the cheerleaders, like, that's, like the pinnacle, right?
Yeah.
So this is the cream of the crop of the cream of the crop, almost.
Yeah, it's – LSU has a cheerleading program that's one of the best in the country for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, just the game day is, you know, who wouldn't want to put on an LSU cheerleading uniform and, you know – wave some pom-poms in Death Valley. It's just that it was the best experience of my life. Truly an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah. Transparently, Courtney, I would not want to put on any cheerleading bar other than wave pom-poms in here. Yes. But being there for college game day does sound pretty cool.
Yes, yes, yes.
What was it like being that D1 athlete? Like, everyone talks about it like it's another job. Like, it is this full-time mm-hmm. endeavor. Like, what was that kind of like?
It was hard, for sure. There were days and I was like, wow, this is extremely challenging, but the reward of it in being able to, you know, be on the sideline in a stadium like Tiger Stadium was so, it made it so worth it. You know, we had practices 4 to 5 times a week, with workouts 3 times a week. And then you had to cheer football games. And then you would get picked to go to 2 away games. So, you know, you're traveling, you're cheering, you're practicing. But then you're also doing a lot of volunteering as well. Like cheerleaders are very active in the community. I did a lot of service in the Baton Rouge community for sure. I volunteered awesome. A lot. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's great.
I loved it. And then you had basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Had to cheer basketball games, volleyball games, and gymnastics meets, all in the fall season. You know, doing that on top of nursing prerequisites was extremely challenging. Mentally and physically draining, but I would say it was so worth it because I always think the work is worth it. I always say hard work always pays off. Because there was no feeling like putting on a purple and gold cheerleading uniform that said LSU across my chest. You know,
yeah.
Tying the bow in my hair, doing my hair, all my makeup, you know. And then seeing, like, that finished product, like, all of that work
mm-hmm.
is made for that moment, I feel like, of, wow. I can't even believe. I would put on the uniform every time. I was like, I can't even believe I'm wearing this.
Yeah, there's, like, a sense of gratitude there almost.
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of gratitude.
Did you ever have any, like, setbacks? Did you ever have any injuries or anything to that effect?
Surprisingly, no.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Was your mom, like, afraid you were going to be tall, putting you in cheerleading at 2 years old, like, the whole stunt your growth thing? Or what was the idea?
So, yeah.
Like, how did she pick it for you?
Mm-hmm. My mom did gymnastics.
Okay.
And she was also a cheerleader in high school. And she didn't really want me to do anything else other than cheerleading. I asked her one time, I was like, Mom, can I try volleyball or soccer? And she's like, no, you're going to stay in cheerleading.
She's like, all right, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, but glad she kept me in it. So you definitely have to be shorter to be a cheerleader for sure. And, you know, I'm on the taller side. You know, 5'3", 5'4", is taller for cheerleading.
That's
so,
yeah.
I was always a little nervous, you know, like, oh, I'm on the taller side, but... You know, if you're talented enough, you know, they'll take you on the team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, I kind of bring it up for this tie-in. What was it like having, like, did your family come down a lot, right? Like, was your mom down there with you at game day? Because far. I mean, this is not a quick travel. So, what was it like having for your family, too?
Mm-hmm. It was hard for my family to have me away.
Yeah.
For sure. There was a Thanksgiving 2021 in Thanksgiving, I wasn't able to go home, which was extremely hard for me and extremely hard for my family. I also got the flu. So I remember I was like, no, and I was questioning. I was like, is this worth it? Yes, it was worth it. Always worth it. But going back to the family, they came down for a game. My mom came down for more games than, you know, the rest of my family because she's my biggest supporter. I love my mom. She's my best friend. Anyways, besides the point. But yeah, my aunts and uncles came down. My grandparents got to come to a game. My dad got to come visit, and so did my brother. So, and they thought it was awesome. You know, they knew I was passionate about cheerleading and were so happy that I made it to that level. Mm-hmm. They were really happy for me and excited.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's awesome to have that support system, too. Like,
yeah.
Any time that you mm-hmm. can get it from your family, I think is a gift.
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I kind of brought it up, but, like, do you really think cheerleading stunts the growth or anything like that? And then we're going to tangent into you coming home, because I feel like,
okay,
just so real quick, like,
yeah,
what do you think on the stunting the growth thing?
So I don't think that cheerleading necessarily stunts your growth, but I think that
gymnastics yeah,
aspect
that
and tumbling, yeah,
okay.
And I think that just closes your growth plates earlier. So
interesting.
I think that's it.
Yeah, from the kinesiology major yourself. okay, so then the time comes, right? You're 2 years in, you finish mm-hmm. your second year, and
yeah,
it's. You're coming home. What mm-hmm. does it look like? What's going through your head? The adrenaline's pumping, the heart's...
Yeah, so that was, you know, you asked me, I think there's a question that was on this, you know, what was the most difficult decision of my life? That one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you leave in a cheerleading program like LSU?
Yeah.
How do you do that? What calls you to do that? And so, this is a lot. So LSU didn't have a nursing program, which was huge. You know, I wanted to, first and foremost, get my education. And so that played a major role in the decision, obviously. And so I was going to originally go for 4 years and then do nursing after, but I would be in school for a long time. And I also was like, well, you know, I could go for 2 years, you know, and then put up the pom-poms and go to nursing school, which was that. What I decided, but I think that I always knew I was passionate about helping people. That was a huge, it still is a huge aspect of my life. I love to volunteer, and I was like, you know, what can I do as a job that's like volunteering, but I'm getting paid for it? And I was like, well, nursing. So I also volunteered, like I said, a lot in Baton Rouge as a cheerleader. You know, I would go to hospitals, I would be in the community, and so I kind of discovered that, you know, volunteering was a major part of my life. And so through that, I kind of was like, okay, I really need to consider this. Do I want to be in school for all these extra years? And so in about January of 2021, I really started to pray about it. And I think that that's, you know, that was like the greatest thing I could have ever done, was just pray about it. And so it was about February, March, and I still didn't know what I was doing. And I needed to make a decision. You know, May's coming up. It's the spring semester. Tryouts were also coming up as well.
Okay.
And so I prayed about it a lot, and I called one of my good faith mentors at the church I went to in Louisiana, and I called her because she was in nursing school as well at the time. I said, what do I do? I said, I'm looking for guidance. I said, I've been praying and I haven't been getting an answer, and that's not like what normally happens. Normally I pray and I get an answer. I said, there's just no sense of guidance, and I need someone. And she said, Courtney, I want you to continue praying, but I also want you to read scripture. And I said, okay. And so that night I had went to Mass, and I opened up my Bible to this exact page, and the verse was this. Let me find it. Hold on.
It's okay.
Okay, it was the verse in Jeremiah. It says, return home, you wayward children. And that was the first thing that caught my eye as I opened up the Bible.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And it says, the Lord, for I am your master, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel from this town, and two from that family, from wherever you are scattered. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, and I will guide you back home with knowledge and understanding.
Look at that.
Yeah. And so that was...
You got your answer.
Yeah, and I got my answer right there. And so another crazy little story that ties into this too is that night, you know, I prayed. And I said, God, you know, if this is your will and if this is what you're calling me to, you know, then let it be and show me a sign. And so I pray for signs a lot. But the next day I had workouts because this was in March, so we were still working out with the LSU cheer team. And so the next day I'm weightlifting on the bar, and I notice there's a little circle, and it's the state of Ohio. And I was like, oh my gosh. I asked my trainer, I was like, is that Ohio? Like, is this where the equipment's from? He's like, yeah, we get the equipment from Ohio. I had never noticed that. For the past two years I was working out in that weight room. So
oh my gosh.
Now I started like crying. You know? So
it's a stamp on the envelope. That's wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so then you're in the weight room, you're crying, having seen the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Did you know? So you knew.
I knew. And there was no questioning about it. I was like, this is God's plan for me. This is his calling for me.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what did you have to do to solidify it?
That was my solidification, I think. I just continued to pray about it. And in April, I let my coaches know. I said, I'm moving to nursing school. There's a lot of girls that, you know, don't do nursing and cheerleading at the same time. It's extremely challenging. I would have loved the challenge. I would have loved to get my nursing degree and cheer at the same time. I wish I could have done that, but unfortunately, you know, they didn't have the program for me. So, but yeah, that was my solidification.
So then you came home at the end of the semester.
Yeah.
And you had a summer, basically, before life switched up to Cleveland State life, right?
Actually, fun fact, I had to take 5 courses over this summer to get fit. Well, I got into the nursing program in March. And then they were like, you need to take all these classes. And I was like, well, I should probably get on that. So I registered and I took 5 courses over the summer. So I really didn't have much of a summer. I've been in school for a long time.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what was like the packing up, the closing, the saying goodbyes process like for you? What did you like take from it too? Like what? I mean, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're leaving your teammates. Teammates become like sisters, like brothers, like they become like a second family. And same with the coaches.
Yeah.
And like that faith mentor that you talked about at one of the churches in Baton Rouge. I mean,
yeah.
What was saying goodbye like?
It was extremely hard. And I'm more so now grateful for that experience, but it was definitely difficult. Mm-hmm. Obviously the most difficult decision of my life. I didn't want to leave the people there because the people in the South, they're so welcoming and they provide the Southern hospitality, just an abundance of it. And so I think that that aspect was really hard for me, but I also feel like I was following God's will and his plan for me. And, you know, greater glory comes out of that. Like, you're going to go through highs and lows. Like, faith isn't just about being happy all the time. You're going to go through those low points. And in that point, I was probably, like, at my lowest because I was sad. You know, I didn't want to do this, but I had to go do God's will. And I knew I was doing God's will and his plan for me. So, you know, I knew there was some kind of peace about that.
Sure.
You know?
Do you feel peace? Did you feel, when did the peace settle back in for you?
When I made the decision, I was like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. Right when I made that decision, you know, it was like hard going up until that decision, you know? Okay. And then I, you know, said my goodbyes and I was like, it's going to be okay.
So there's a solemnity with you.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yes. And then what, like, do you have any, I kind of picture it like the prodigal son almost. Like, I don't know why I like picture it like you come back and like to keep the faith idea going, like you come back and I would imagine like your family's, you know, slaying the fattest cow or whatever, and, like, excited just to have you, of course.
Yeah.
And then the whole, you come home, you see your friends again, you're back in your hometown.
Yeah. I don't necessarily know. I mean, I think that can certainly be applied to it, but I think that the biggest, you know, chapter of the Bible that can be applied to my life was, you know, in Jeremiah, when the Israelites are being led home out of that captivity. And then, obviously, one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And I really see my hope and my future in nursing and helping people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's killer. What a great verse, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, go one more time on that.
Okay. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11.
It's crazy. I love that you have it memorized, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a good, like, just motivator, you know? God wants that greatness for you and doesn't want you to just wither. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that blossoming is all that's happening by you taking the steps towards what you felt called to do, what you knew you had to do.
Yeah, and obviously, cheerleading was such a big part of my life. I mean, major part of my life. That was my life. That was what I was known as. And I think there's so much humbleness about leaving that, you know, leaving that, how do I put that into words? Like, leaving LSU cheerleading, you're humbled to go be called into God's will. You know, there's grace and there's peace about it, for sure.
That's amazing. So there's this famous NFL player, his name's J.J. Watt, and he just announced his retirement yesterday, and he's been in the league. He's one of those guys that, right, he was drafted by the Texans, all the fans booed him, one of these classic things. He becomes an immediate, like, Hall of Fame talent.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Fame talent. He's gone through crazy injuries. He's done amazing things. Like, I remember, I don't know if it was, like, the Haiti situation, what was that, like 2012, but like he goes everywhere where there's disaster, and he's such just a mammoth human being, and he goes and like he'll build houses, you know, he'll like, so you'll see him lifting walls, he's just a mammoth human being.
Yeah.
But a little bit beside the point. They asked him yesterday, like, kind of what he thought about the whole thing, and of course he's emotional saying goodbye to something that has been his life forever, and he was talking about it and saying, like, you know, his perspective is always that I got to do what little kids dreamed of doing, right? Like, every little kid wants to grow up and be in the NFL, be in the NBA, whatever. He was saying, like, this was my life. And, like, they asked him this and this because he never won a Super Bowl. That was kind of the drive behind the question. And he said, you know, of course I wanted to win a Super Bowl. And I'm sure for you, like, of course I would have wanted to continue cheering for 4 years. But but at the same time, you got to do it. You got to do such an extraordinary thing and something that you had dreamt of as a kid and that, you know, plenty of other people won't get the opportunity to do, even though they would have wanted that opportunity. And I think that there's something, again, humble in saying, like, you know what, this was awesome, I'm really appreciative of it, but it is my time to walk because I'm more than a cheerleader, I'm more than J.J. Watt, the football player, I'm J.J. Watt, I'm Courtney Hahn, like, and then the other parts come after that.
That's such a good point. I really like that point. And I think that now that I have not been cheering, I found different things I'm really passionate about. And, you know, I'm building my future and I'm building my life now, which is very exciting. I'm really excited for what the future holds and to finally discover things I enjoy other than cheerleading. Mm-hmm. It's been really unique and interesting to find myself, not myself in cheerleading.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Before we touch on what some of those things are, yes. How did you know, does Cleveland State have a team, cheerleading team?
They do, yes.
And how did you know that that you were hanging up the shoes as opposed to cheering at Cleveland State?
I think that I probably knew that LSU cheerleading was the peak of my cheerleading career. And now I coach. So I was like, well, there's going to be things that I can still be involved in that, you know, I can still participate with cheer, but just not do it. You know, I was mentally and physically exhausted. Mm-hmm. 2 years, I accomplished a lot at LSU. You know, there's certain awards I got, and I got to travel to nationals as well. I got to go to a bowl game. And so I kind of feel like I packed so much in to 2 years there that I was like, okay, you know, I feel fulfilled. I feel like I completed my purpose here. You know, cheerleading served such a great purpose in my life, and I still apply it to my life to this day, and it taught me so much. But I knew in my heart that I was done.
That's good.
I think you have to know in your heart when you're done.
Right. And you opened your doors for divine intervention for that. So
yes. You
knew.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you mentioned you're finding these things that you're passionate about outside of cheerleading. What are some of those?
So that would be yoga.
Okay. Killer.
I did yoga when I cheered, but now I just love it even more than I ever have. And I want to become a yoga instructor. I like to read. When I was cheering and doing school, it was obviously really hard to read. I've been really interested in books about nursing itself and like what I'm learning in school, a lot about nutrition. I've discovered a lot about gut health and hormones. So that's been something I've been interested in. And I just think that, you know, educating yourself helps you grow as a person. You're more knowledgeable on things. You become more of an interesting person. So I like that. I like to run. When I first came home, I did a half marathon, which was really exciting.
Yeah.
And so now I want to do a full marathon. So, you know, I just,
kudos.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a very ambitious person. And I was really nervous at first, like, oh my gosh, I don't have cheerleading. What am I going to do? Well, I realized that I can fill it with a lot more different things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
I love it. You do have some big goals. I mean, I love that all the fitness. There's so much fitness involved, right? From like the health aspect of it and the gut health and reading about that, but to the mental brain growth by reading and studying such a challenging thing. And so you want to be a yoga instructor. Yeah. I mean, just consistent with this overarching theme of health.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. And like that prosperous, be better, like the Jeremiah verse that God has in store for you. That's really cool.
Thank you.
You had mentioned a little bit ago
that
moving to Baton Rouge, going to LSU, kind of opened your eyes to what traveling can do. And you said you love to travel now. Mm. What did it teach you, and how come you love to travel?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. So the South itself taught me a lot. It taught me that there's a whole new world out there. If I can describe the South in one word, I think it would be different. I think there's a lot of features to it that I fell in love with. Getting into this, you know, like Louisiana is a state of its own, I'll tell you that. But I absolutely loved it. And so, like, the differences in culture, differences in people, the different food I tried, the whole just experience I got opened up my eyes to where, as if I went to, you know, school in Ohio or somewhere up north, I wouldn't have had that chance to discover and to realize, wow, there is so much that the world has to offer. And, you know, I really think that's why God put me down there is, you know, it helped me expand my horizons and, you know, challenge me to develop new goals. You know, when I graduate from nursing school, I don't want to just stay here. I want to, you know, go out into the world. I want to travel nurse and I want to go on mission trips and, like, help the world. And now I'm not scared to move away. Mm-hmm. Now I know I have courage and I have what it takes to move away from home and to do what I'm called to do, if that's a good answer.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. That's great. No, I mean, it's influencing the way you want to take your life, too, like the way you want to be a nurse and to go help the people who probably need it the most, really. I mean, anyone that's interacting with a nurse is usually not in a great spot. So,
yeah.
No offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Where are some of the places you want to go? Like, how come? All that.
I really want to travel to Hawaii because I love tropical places. I think it would be cool potentially to get my master's in nursing and do nurse practicing like at a school in somewhere Hawaii. I really want to go outside of the country to somewhere like Italy, Rome, and see the Vatican, you know.
Oh, be amazing. Right. Yeah. Checks out.
Yes, exactly. And then I really want to travel to countries that, you know, need help, like Africa, Haiti, places like that, to do mission trips. And I can, you know, do nursing there as well. If it's, you know, people who are sick and need to be taken care of or they need a vaccine, you know, I could be that person there for them. So,
yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. As we kind of get, like, towards the end of this, I have just a couple questions that I'm curious about a little more broadly. Mm-hmm. Who are some of, like, your biggest influences in your life? There's, I feel like there's a ton of people that influence us in general. People that we know on the immediate, or people who are... maybe we've never even met, like large-scale celebrities, public figures, I don't know, Jesus, right? Although we can know him, but not, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you know me, this one's obvious, my mom. Mm-hmm. She plays such a significant role in my life because we have very clashing personalities. They just go hand in hand, they go together, because she's very high energy, very positive, always smiling, always happy, and so I gravitates to her, she gravitates to me, and we are just like buddies. She has been there for me. Obviously, everyone says this as a kid or as a, you know, someone who has a mom. She's always been there for me, but she really has. She never missed a single cheer competition since I was competing in fourth grade.
Wow.
She never missed a single one. We spent a lot of time together. You know, she would drive me back and forth to the gym every single time. She would deal with, you know, the cheer drama, and she would, you know,
can't imagine.
Oh, yeah, you can't imagine, you know? So, and she would just help me at my lowest lows, but was also there for, like, my greatest accomplishments. And we just spend a lot of time together. And now that I'm not cheering, you know, I spend a lot of time with her, too. We go to yoga together. We run together. We walk together. She's just an amazing person, a great role model for me.
I like that you guys dive into each other's passions like that. Like, she's like, all right, well, you want to run now? We'll run. You want to do yoga? We'll do yoga.
Yes, exactly. Great. That's what...
moms are so supportive. It's,
yes,
they're such a
gift. I also have another person, Sadie Robertson.
Okay.
I've been into her podcast, the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I don't know if you know that one.
No, I'm going to have to check it out,
yes,
the Whoa, That's
you
Good
should.
Podcast.
Yeah. And I read her book called Live. It was phenomenal. I just think she's a great role model for young girls, young women who want to pursue a relationship with God. And, you know, she really inspires me. You look at her and, you know, she's just like a ray of sunshine. She's happy. She's positive. And, you know, she has so much faith in God. And I think that in this generation particularly, girls need to see women like that, you know, because I think that, you know, she's just amazing. And I'm really inspired and motivated by her and the way she lives her life.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You kind of touch on it. I was going to ask you, what advice do you have to people who take it how you want? If you want to direct it to people in cheerleading, I know you have plenty of experience there. So someone who's aspiring to be a great cheerleader, someone who you mentioned with the faith earlier to like just start. But what advice would you give to someone and direct it again to who you want that is looking to do X?
Just looking to do anything?
Yeah.
Good question. Probably seek God's will for it. What does God want me to do with my life? How can I pursue God's call for me? And, you know, it goes back to what I said in the beginning of this is start, you know, start like the mustard seed, and then you're going to watch your life grow. I mean, I've seen my life grow from the beginning I started cheerleading till now. I have all these stories. I mean, there's so much more about my faith that I could share, but there's just not enough time for it, you know, and you watch yourself grow when you start with God's will for you and your life.
Do you have any regrets, Courtney? Do you have anything that you look back on and say, I kind of regret this?
No.
No?
I actually don't, because I know that I've prayed about everything in my life, and if I have faith in God and I truly believe I'm following His will and His call, then what regrets is there to have? So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and when you make those kind of informed decisions, then
you're
trusting that, and you kind of push it off on the God. You're like, well, I trusted God on this one, so it's just like, it wasn't me. No, I'm just kidding, but... One of the contentions that I have is that people who live gratefully or like have gratitude in their hearts tend to just be better people than people who don't. It's one of my core beliefs. It's a crux of the podcast. What role does gratitude have in your life?
This is my favorite question.
Really?
Okay. Because gratitude plays a crucial role in my life. I think as a person, you know, happiness roots from gratitude. If you look around at your life and you realize, and you wake up every day and you realize, I have so much. Mm-hmm. I have a car. I can see. I can walk. I can talk. I can eat. I have food. I have a family. I have a roof over my head. That's just, those are great things to be happy about. And I think that that's where a lot of my gratitude roots from, is just realizing how much I have and how much God has provided for me. There's a lot of people who don't have a roof over their head. There's people who are starving. You know, you want to put yourself in those people's shoes, and from that perspective, gratitude just grows and thrives, I think. And to touch on this too, I think that my first, I had my first round of clinicals this semester, and, you know, just seeing people who, you know, they're stuck in the hospital, they can't leave, you know, health as well. You know, I was talking about how I really want to, you know, educate myself on that. You know, being healthy is something that people take for granted every day.
Oh, so true.
It's really, yeah. So just being in the hospital and seeing those people struggle and, you know, suffer, I mean, they're sick, you know, has motivated me to take on my health and, like, grow in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do to show gratitude, to live that life?
Be happy.
Yeah.
Smile. Yeah. I think that a lot of people, you know, they go through life and they just don't realize that their life has so much to offer and there's no reason to not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, there's obviously reasons to not be happy, but, you know, I think there is so many reasons to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, there are more reasons to be happy, even like when things are down.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even just mean like a false optimism. It's just like, all right, you got to be able to compartmentalize and say, you know what, this is bad.
Yeah.
And be able to look at the good and be like, this is good.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to live in the good, because the ugly head's going to show its face at times. And when you have gratitude centered in your life, like, you can pull away from that badness and emerge good, emerge better that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. For sure.
That's good.
Yeah.
Courtney Hahn, do you have any kind of closing thoughts here as we gear towards the end of this? Do you have anything you want to put out there?
I don't think so. This was really fun.
Yeah.
This is exciting. It's something new. You know, I've been trying a lot of new things now that I haven't been in cheerleading, so... You know, who knows? Maybe I'll have my own podcast one day. You never know.
I was thinking that. I could see you having a nice, like, religious-based, scripture-oriented kind of podcast. I think it would be...
Yeah.
You could be the next Sadie, right? Sadie Robertson.
Sadie Robertson.
Right? Yeah, you could be the next...
I'd love to.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
You should give it a try. 2022 is right around the corner.
Yeah.
You got a couple of
days. No, 2023.
Yeah. What did I say?
I think you said 2022.
All right, well, the next year is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
if you want to start, there's your chance.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right, well, Courtney, this has been amazing.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on and just kind of sharing your story of faith, of courage to move to and from, like, the lessons and the wisdom that you've taken from it.
Thank you.
People who have traveled the world have great perspective. I think people who work with others, like you do, like all you nurses do, tend to have another great perspective too, because you interact with so many people, especially at pivotal points in need, tend to know a lot about life. And that's kind of the goal here, right? The goal is that we can see different people's mindsets about things and why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, like I have from our conversation, people can interact with some of those ideas and implement them into their own lives.
Yeah.
So, again, Courtney, thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. It's my first time really speaking out about my faith. So it was a really cool opportunity. And I hope people who listen, you know, take it to heart and do something with it. So thank
you. Just start, right?
Yeah, just start.
Just start. Everyone, this is your cue to kind of hit that subscribe button. I say it every time. I don't know what you're waiting for. we're going on year three here. I'm excited to start the year three of the Chats with Clark podcast. And again, I am your host, Joe Clark. So thanks for tuning in. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark.